me in readiness to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9, we're looking at the first few verses there. So 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we're not starting it right this moment, but just so you're ready, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Okay. Let's just take a moment to pray and get our hearts ready again then, shall we? Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege it is to come around your way. We know it brings life, and we know that it challenges our thinking and challenges our decision-making processes. Today, as we come around your word, please, would you speak life into the words, into those words that I speak, Father, that they would come straight from your heart, and they would bring challenge to us, and bring life into the home, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. I wonder this morning, what is it that makes you tick? What is it that gets you out of bed in the morning? What is it that you commit yourself to every day in order to find fulfillment or to reach a particular goal? Is it your kids or your grandkids? Is it your job? Is it making money? Is it being more active? Is it losing weight? Perhaps it's a cause perhaps that you have that's close to your heart, like seeing homelessness eradicated. Could be any number of things. Because all of us this morning, I would suggest, are committed to something or to someone. All of us are committed to something or to someone this morning. The term commitment is defined in the Cambridge Dictionary in this way: willingness to give your time and energy to a job, activity, or something that you believe in. How far would you go this morning in order to show your commitment to something that you believe in? Would you do whatever it takes in order to get your point across, to prove yourself, or to prove the belief in something or someone, to show that the cause that you believe in has some kind of value? Would you be willing to show commitment to do whatever it takes, or would you be more likely to fall at the first hurdle when the first problem comes along? What would you do? Perhaps at the first time of busyness, would you go, "Oh, not really sure that's worth it anymore. I'll just stop." See, we live in a world that I would suggest where commitment is something that people tend to shy away from at times, especially if things get tough. People that perhaps give up on jobs too quickly when it's not what they imagined, or when they hit a problem. When people get married and then leave at the first sign of trouble. People that start a hobby thinking it'll be great but never really getting started. People who put their lack of commitment into their studies because they feel that there are better things to do. Or those who don't follow through with promises. Are you good at following through with promises this morning? Or do you lack the commitment to follow through with what you've promised? Vince Lombardi, a famous American football coach, once said these words: "Most people fail not because of a lack of desire, but a lack of commitment." Commitment, perhaps, to their cause. Truth is that commitment is not something that is automatic. In fact, it's something that you have to work at. Something that you have to persevere with. It takes energy, it takes hard work. But I guess the question we need to ask ourselves is this morning. Does what we're committed to at this moment make a difference and hold value beyond just a warm feeling that you may get? Beyond just cash in your pocket? Beyond just a pat on the back? Does your commitment leave a legacy? And does your commitment mean something? Does it mean something? I'm not saying this morning that you've what you're committed to is wrong. But at the same time, I believe it's important that we regularly take time to reflect and ask ourselves the difficult questions about whether what we're committing to is actually producing something of value, lasting value. Is it the best use of your time? Will it bring you the lasting fulfillment that you desire? Will what I've committed myself to leave a lasting legacy for the people behind me, the people behind you? You see, what we put our effort into and commitment into will often tell us what we value the most. But what we've got to remember is this. I'm sure you know this, you're all clever people. But you cannot take anything away with you. You can have all the money in the world, but you cannot take it away with you. You can have the nicest of cars, you can have the nicest of houses. But when your time comes, as it does for every single person, and this world is no longer here for you, you cannot take those things with you. Building relationship is really good and really important. But what is the end purpose when you build those relationships? If it's just to have a chat on the phone or to have someone to do a hobby with, it's fun, but is it the best for you? There are so many different things this morning that we can be committed to. But I'd like to suggest, as we have done last week at the beginning of this series, that there's two things that we are a priority that we should have a commitment to above all others. And that is a commitment to Jesus and a commitment to his church, to fellow believers, to the body of Christ. The Bible teaches us in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, if not my favorite verse. It says these words: trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. But in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Commitment, trust in God as first and foremost is so important. Hebrews 10, verse 24 to 25, when we're talking about the church being committed to the church, we looked at these verses last week. It says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, or as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. That's the day of Jesus' return, when he will come and he will collect his bride, the church, and take them to be with him. Now, many of the sermons that we listen to when we look about commitment, it would be many of our sermons, and so they should be, are focused on Jesus and our commitment to him. So we will have sermons like that all the time. But more irregularly would we have sermons that concentrate on being committed to the body of Christ, being committed to the church. And so, last week we launched a new 3-part series called Commitment. Commitment to the local church, looking at what it means for us to be committed. In the first message from last week, we focused on committing to being present in person. We discovered that being present in person encourages and motivates each of us onto greater levels of faith. It's also an opportunity to meet and encounter God personally and corporately together. Because corporately together is different than on our own. There's something special about being together face to face and about worshipping in spirit and in truth together. And thirdly, we looked at the fact that we're all needed. It doesn't matter who we are, where we're from, our background, what age we are, we are all needed. Because we are all part of the body of Christ. You may feel like you're a big toe. Or you may feel like you're a heart. You may feel like you're a finger. Whatever in the body of Christ. But it's all important and it all has a function. You and your skills and your desires and your gifts play a role in the local body of Christ and in the wider picture. If you missed the first sermon from last week on being present, then I encourage you to either look on our website where the audio file is, or you can watch the full service if you like, in full Technicolor, and watch it on video, and that is up as well on our YouTube page, Ealing Southampton. I encourage you, if you've not done that, to look at that this morning or later on. Let's turn, shall we, to the 1 Corinthians 9 scripture that I spoke about a few minutes ago. We set the scene, and now this is where we're going this morning. This is not, because you know you have one of those moments and you're like, that is not it at all. That is not it at all. Why have I put 9? I bet it's something. Hang on a sec, just give me a moment. That is embarrassing, isn't it? The pastor's written the wrong scripture down. You know what? It's not 1 Corinthians, it's 2 Corinthians. There you go. 2 Corinthians 9. It's good that, you know, it's reality, isn't it? Don't always get it right. There we go. That is the one I wanted. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Keeps me on my toes, keeps you on your toes too, doesn't it? Okay, I really don't need to write to you about this ministry of giving to the believers in Jerusalem, for I know how eager you are to have it. And I've been boasting to the churches in Macedonia that you in Greece were ready to send an offering a year ago. In fact, it's your enthusiasm that stirred up many of the Macedonian believers to begin giving. But I'm sending these brothers to be sure you really are ready. As I've been telling them, and that your money is all collected, I don't want to be wrong in my boasting about you. We'd be embarrassed, not to mention your own embarrassment, if some Macedonian believers came with me and found that you weren't ready for all I had told them. So I thought I should send these brothers ahead of me to make sure the gift you promised is ready. But I want it to be a willing gift, not one given grudgingly. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you'll always have everything you need, and plenty left over to share with others. As the scripture says, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. May God bless his word to our hearts as we continue to look at what it means for us to be committed to the local church. Whenever a pastor stands up and starts a sermon and talks around the theme of money, it can cause many different kinds of reactions. But I guess one of the main ones that can happen from time to time is, here we go again, the church is just after my hard-earned money, telling me I'm not giving enough, etc., etc. You fill in the blanks. Now, as much as I guess this could be such a reason in some circumstances, let me assure you today that when this talk around the importance of giving and being committed to giving is not one of those times where I'm going to be telling people off or anything like. Rather, today I want to remind ourselves of why being committed to the act of giving is an important part of the local church, and subsequently how we should give when we give. My preference this morning is that we shouldn't, well, wouldn't go away from here feeling guilty or condemned because the pastor says we don't give enough, and actually, I'm not going to say that this morning at all, but rather that we would get a new understanding of how our giving can make an impact for the kingdom of God. Do you realise that your giving that you make when you give unto the work of God actually really does make a difference? It's not just because the pastor says that we should give, that we give. It's a biblical principle that we're going to look at. But there is so much benefit, so much truth in why committing to giving to the local church and giving unto God is so important. Now, the subject of money, believe it or not, is one of those subjects in the Bible which is actually talked about a lot. Did you know that there are close to over 800 scripture references to giving and to money? I guess what you could probably kind of surmise from that, from those numbers of scriptures, is that God feels like money, how we steward it, how we give it, how we use it, is of great importance to Him. It's not important to me as a pastor, it's important to God, for all of us, when it comes to our money and it comes to our giving. The first mention of giving of any kind is found pretty early on in Scripture, in Genesis chapter 4, verse 2 to 4. And it says these words: "Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the first fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering for portions from some of the firstborn of his flock." That is one of the first cases of giving unto God. And then we've got other scriptures as well. As we look further, we look at Abraham, and the first time that tithing is mentioned. And he gives a tenth of his offering to the priest Melchizedek after there had been a time of war. It says these words: "Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. And he blessed Abraham, saying, 'Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand.' Then Abraham gave him a tenth of everything that he had." Then we go into, there's other scriptures, I couldn't mention all 800, otherwise we'd probably be here till next week. But in the New Testament, Jesus talks about the importance of being wise stewards with our money. Matthew 6, verse 19, part of his Sermon on the Mount teaching, Jesus says these words: "Don't store up treasures on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store up your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, the desires of your heart will be." And Acts 2, verse 44 to 45, talks about the act of giving and giving money in order to help others. Acts 2, 44, 45, "And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need." So there's lots of different scriptures, 800 different scriptures about money. But why is it? And what is it the Bible, when the Bible talks about giving unto God in the local church, what does it mean? Well, there are different types of giving, but the two main ones are this: tithes, that is, the tithes of the money given that are a percentage of our income. And traditionally in church life, this would be 10% of the money that we would earn and would come into our banks. And then there's offerings. And there's different types of offerings, but an offering like you would talk about on perhaps on a Sunday and things like that is any money above and beyond the tithes that you may choose to give as an offering unto God. Tithes and offerings. So why do we as believers, why do we need to be committed to giving to God and to the local church? Why can't we just keep it all for ourselves? Why can't we just decide, or why can't we, just keep it to ourselves? Because there's so many things that are buying for our attention: food, bills, clothing, all those kind of things. God surely knows that life is really difficult. That actually, in these last few months, lots of things have changed. And my bills have gone up and up and up and up. Does he understand that? Well, of course he does. But there are real principles for giving. And these are three of the reasons why we should be committed to giving to God and the local church. The first one is this: Because everything we have, everything you own today, everything from the clothes on your back, to the money in your wallet, to the house you have, to the car, it is all God's. It's all God's. God, in his love and in his grace, has chosen to bless us with these things, but it is his. The trouble is, though, that sometimes we can sometimes get into a mentality which says we deserve what we have because we've worked hard, and though that may be true to an extent, life can also change in an instant. Circumstance can change, and suddenly we're left with nothing. If you look at the story of Job in the Bible, you see that this was a guy who was left by money and everything, and then, just like that, everything was taken away. The things that we have are because God has given them to us. We should honour him. We have no divine right to anything, but God loves to bless his children. James 1 verse 16 to 17 puts it this way. Don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changed or cast a shifting shadow. All good things come from God. Gifts from above. None of us can guarantee what will happen in these years to come. And I guess if you want any further clarity, is this: who can ever tell me one person who has come back and who has focused just on material wealth and has come back and just focused on the things that are not good or the things that are there, has ever had any eternal reward for that? So say we store up all the things on earth. As we said before, nobody has been able to take anything. Do you know anybody who's been able to take their stuff away to heaven? Well, no. The reality is it gets all left behind, doesn't it? Don't get me wrong, it's nice to have material possessions, to have a house, to have a car, to be able to go on holiday. But it's only ever because of God that we have these things. That's why being committed to giving to God and to the local church, secondly, is an opportunity for you to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God, that you've given me, fill in the blank. Thank you is such a powerful word, but it's one in today's world that perhaps is used with less frequency than it used to be. When I grew up, and it may be the case, the same with you, is we were taught to say thank you for every meal. Say grace before every meal. When people did things for you, it was respectful and courteous to say thank you for doing that. Perhaps in the world that we live right now, it doesn't happen perhaps as much. It doesn't happen, but it doesn't happen as much as it should. God doesn't need your money today. The church doesn't need the money to be the church. But we give unto God and we give unto the things of the church and the building of the kingdom because we're thankful. And we let God know by doing that we appreciate all that he's done for us. That's why we give, to say thank you. To say thank you. Psalm 103, verse 2 and verse 5 says it this way. Let all I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he's done for me. He fills my life with good things. Does God fill your life with good things?
Yes.
Then we should say thank you. Is the honourable and the nice thing to do? To say thank you for what God has done for us. You know, but giving and committing to give to God and the local church also increases your and my faith. I love the reading we find in Mark 12, verse 42 to 44. It's just like three or four verses, but they're just amazing verses. It's where a widow is in the temple with Jesus, with the disciples, with the Pharisees, with a lot of people. And she goes to drop her offering to God. It's her last two coins. Can you imagine for a moment, the level of faith it took for her to give her last two pennies? To the people in the crowd, it meant nothing. For the Pharisees, they perhaps would have scoffed as they paraded themselves with their sack full of money. And you could hear the clunk, 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 as the Pharisees put in all their money. And then you heard the little light as the lady put in her two coins. It didn't matter. They would have scoffed, the Pharisees would have scoffed at it. But Jesus saw it differently. To Jesus, it meant everything. In verse 44, Jesus says to his disciples, she gave everything she had to live on. These coins would have bought her food, yet she had faith to believe that by honoring God, he would supply for all of her needs. God is no man's debtor. Philippians 4, verse 19 in the King James Version says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. As those coins dropped, you can just imagine her faith rising. God wants us to trust in him, not to trust in our wealth and to trust in our money. Trust in him. Money doesn't get you out of trouble. God gets you out of trouble. Money doesn't bless your life. God blesses your life. Money is not the be all and end all. But what we have, we give unto God as a thank you. And we give unto God because it can increase our faith as we do so. And then it builds God's kingdom. Committing to giving unto God and to the local church builds his kingdom. It enables the local church to function. I'm sure that you'd be aware when you need to tell you, but there are bills that need to be paid to keep the building functioning effectively. There are missionaries that we serve and that we give to across the world. There are ministries that we have set up and ministries that we would want to launch in the future to reach our community with the gospel. And yes, there are monies that go towards helping release me to lead the church, but these are all different things, and they are all important to building God's kingdom. At this point, just want to say a big thank you. Thank you to every one of you who've given faithfully over so many years to building projects, ministries, and the day-to-day running of the church, because without you, we would not be in the place that we are. When a person chooses to commit to give to God and the local church, it really does make a difference. It doesn't matter how much you give or how little you think that you give, all giving is important and it pleases God. It pleases him when we've done it with the right motives of worship, honour and thanks. Proverbs 3 verse 9 says, honour the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything that you produce. Honour him. So we mentioned a few reasons why we should commit to giving, but how should we give? And believe it or not, there is a right and a wrong way to kind of give it. See, if we're giving just because it's the right thing to do, or if we question why we have to, then we've missed the point about giving. Giving financially to God should never be about feeling pressure. Do not feel pressure to give because I'm talking to you about tithing offerings and giving unto God. Don't feel pressure about that. It's about our hearts and about what we want to do. I can't change your mind. I wouldn't want to change your mind. You couldn't change my mind. I have to do what I think is right. But what I'm saying today is that there's a great importance in giving unto God. The benefits totally outweigh the costs. I know that from my own life. Over many, many years, the benefits always outweigh the costs. And yes, sometimes there is a cost in giving faithfully to God. Sometimes you might not feel like it. But the benefits of giving unto God so much outweigh the costs. Give him faithfully, give him joyfully. There's always places that your money can go, but what's going to bring eternal value? When we choose to give to God, it loosens our grip of dependence on the things of the world and brings our focus onto Christ and our trust in him. And here are three keys that will help you and me to commit to giving to the local church in the right way. Be cheerful. Can you all smile at me? Be cheerful. Because God loves a cheerful giver. He loves a cheerful giver. Someone that is not doing it out of, oh, no, I've got to do that. Again. It's come around again already. More money. No, cheerful giver. God, I thank you for this. I want to cheerfully give you what I have. Because even if I don't have a lot, I give it unto you because I know that it's what you call me to do. And I don't do it just because you bless me, I do it because I want to. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7 from our reading says, don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. If we believe this morning that God will supply our needs of the situations we find ourselves in, if we believe it's important that we equip the local church financially so that it can reach out and build God's kingdom, if we understand that it's an act of thanks, then it should be our greatest joy to give unto the work of God. It's not an end of the world moment every time you get to the end of the month or beginning of the next. It's not. It's a sign of hope and trust as we give unto God. Be cheerful, I would suggest this morning, as we give. Whatever we give, be cheerful. Secondly, really important this one, be wise. Be wise. Please hear me, hear this. Being committed to giving is not about the amount that you give. God doesn't want you to get into strife by our giving, especially if we have debts or it could put you in financial trouble. But at the same time, this is this, those issues don't mean that you can't give. When we go through tough times, we might have to change the amount that we give, perhaps at different times, different seasons, but it doesn't mean that we can't give. Being in a tough time doesn't mean, oh, I'll keep that back if I really need it. And I'm preaching this because there's been times like that for me. Times like that where I've gone, you know what, I can just do with that money to pay for that. Because that's going on, or I want that. But giving something, being wise in our giving is really important. Hebrews 13 verse 6, do not neglect to do good or to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. As I say, you may go through a season where things are tighter and you can't give as much, but on the other hand, you will at some stage go through a season where you're in a better place and perhaps you can give more generously. You just need to be wise where you are. What you decide to give, though, and this is the most critical part, what you decide to give must come out of an honest conversation that you have between you and God. It's not a conversation that you have with me as the pastor. It's not a conversation that you have with Jean as the treasurer. It's not a conversation that you have with anybody else. It's a conversation you have between you and God. And you make that decision. It's nothing to do with anybody else. God, though, when it comes to giving, is more interested in your heart and motive, not the specific amount. Where is your heart today? Is it all about chasing about after the money for what you think you need or want or have to pay for? Or is it about knowing that what you have is a blessing, that you hold what you have loosely, you use it wisely, and you honour him who has given you so much? That is a question that you need to ask yourself. If there's some realigning to do, then you need to go before God and to do some realigning. Again, that is between you and God. Thirdly and finally, as I bring things into land, be consistent. Paul says to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 16 verse 2, on the first day of each week, you should put aside a portion of money that you've earned. Don't wait until I get there and then try to collect it all at once. Paul knew the difficulty of consistency. It's one of the regular challenges that we too face. With ever-growing bills, family to feed, clothes to buy, finding consistency with our giving can be tricky. We often start off with the right intentions, giving to God as the first priority. But over time, the circumstances change. As our other commitments change, our giving unto God can at times become lost. The question again we need to ask ourselves is this: what's most important to me and ultimately holds the most lasting value? What we truly value, we commit to, and we willingly put the effort in to do everything we can to make it work. One of the things that I did early on in my adult life was to make a decision that when it came to my giving, and this is just me personally, everyone does it differently, but I made the decision to count what I give unto God as a bill. And I don't see it as, oh, I'm a bill, as in the sense, oh, no, I've got another bill to pay. I see it as my joy to be able to do that. And to be able to give so that I can know that it can be consistently sent out by a standing order or via direct debit. And to be honest, you know, I went through a stage in my life where I was like, at times, oh, I'm not sure that I want to give that, I need to do this or I need to pay this or do something else. And so there are times when I got challenged by that, by God, and perhaps by others. And what turned out was I decided to set it up in the way that I do as a bill, because then I knew that I could be more consistent with my giving. It took me a while to get my heart right, but once I did, I experienced the real joy of giving to God. Over the years, the amounts may change depending on the season, but the heart to give has consistently remained the same. Not out of a habit, but because of joy and thankfulness for what God has given me. If you find yourself this morning in a position where you struggle with consistency in your giving, may I encourage you to go before God to ask Him to help you to take the first steps, whether that be budgeting, setting up a standing order, whatever's best that helps you to set the consistency that you want as you commit to give to God and to the local church. In conclusion, and you've listened so well, thank you. Are you committed in your giving to God, to the local church and to ministries? Giving unto God is an important part of our call to be part of the body of Christ. It doesn't matter how much we give as long as we do it with a cheerful heart. Wisely and consistently. In doing this, it releases resources to build God's kingdom. It grows our faith and it gives us opportunity to say thank you for all that God gives us. After all, everything is His. And one final added bonus, I want to add this in at the end, because this is just a bonus thing, it's not why we do it. When we give, God blesses us in return. Luke 6 verse 38, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put in your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Now this doesn't necessarily mean extra money. As you give out, God will give you loads more back. No, it doesn't necessarily mean that, though it could in different circumstances. But on the other hand, it may mean that when you give unto God, it may mean that you have more left over at the end of the month. As you've given, you may hear testimony about how your giving has blessed others. Or it might be something else entirely. I'm not going to tell you how God will bless you, but what it does say is that God will bless you when we give, and when we give faithfully and consistently. Whatever way it comes, we can be sure that God wants to bless us. It's not obviously not a reason to give, but it does show us that gift and giving often goes beyond, way beyond what we accept. And with this I finish. Today, will you choose to be committed in your giving to the local church?